Today, Sprint Nextel said it's joining forces with some of the world's most famous internet and cable giants to start a new kind of wireless company. Among the investors are Intel, Google, Comcast, and Time Warner Cable. This new firm will be built around what's called WiMAX technology. It allows cell phone users to connect to the internet at much faster speeds than they can today. But as NPR's Jim Zaroli reports, the cost of building that new network promises to be huge.
Jerry Bianchi can sit in a park in Manhattan on a spring afternoon and access the internet just as though he were in an office. He uses a card made by Verizon that plugs into his laptop. Essentially, he surfs the net over the same network that carries his cell phone calls. Bianchi says the system isn't perfect. For one thing, it's slower than his home DSL line.
There are spots like a cell phone would be if you go through certain areas. Like I said, I use it on the train, so you go through certain areas. You might hit a dead zone, it drops you off. It gets a little frustrating.
To Sprint Nextel, internet users like Bianchi represent a huge potential market for wireless services. The company said it's combining its broadband wireless unit with that of Clearwire, which was founded by cell phone pioneer Craig McCall. The new company will be called Clearwire, although Sprint Nextel will own most of its shares. Clearwire chief executive Ben Wolf told analysts that the new venture would provide consumers with a level of wireless services they haven't seen before.
Customers want both a true broadband experience and mobility when it comes to their communication services. Until now, they've had to settle for one or the other. We intend to change that by building one of the fastest and most capable wireless networks ever conceived.
The company will build that network using the new technology called WiMAX. So far, WiMAX has been tried in just a few places, but analyst Michael Nelson of Stanford Group believes it has potential.
The promise of WiMAX is to have really the internet anytime, any place, on the go, completely mobile, with an open platform so that virtually any type of consumer electronic device or appliance with a WiMAX embedded chipset can access the internet.
That means using a wireless internet device to do some of the same things you can do over a high-speed broadband connection, like download movies or music. But there are also big questions about whether the venture can succeed. Sprint Nextel's competitors, Verizon and AT&T, are developing their own new wireless technology called LTE, which can be built over their existing network. Building Clearwire's network will be costlier. The company has received capital from several big-name companies, but analyst Roger Entner of IAG Research says the money pledged so far probably won't go far enough.
The funding that Clearwire has now is undoubtedly impressive with, you know, $3.2 billion. They still have to raise a lot more money to actually build this out.
Some analysts also note that Clearwire's complex ownership structure could make managing the company difficult. Among those financing the network will be Google, Time Warner, and Comcast. All of them have their own interests in wanting to see WiMAX technology succeed. As Clearwire attempts to secure a share of the growing wireless market, it will find itself juggling a lot of competing demands. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The biggest technology merger of all time is off. And today, that news did not help Yahoo's stock price. Over the weekend, Microsoft withdrew its bid for Yahoo. In the end, a few billion dollars separated the two sides in a deal worth about $47 billion. After negotiations collapsed, Yahoo CEO Jerry Yang wrote in a blog post, "No one is celebrating the outcome." We have two reports on Yahoo's fate. First, here's NPR's Wendy Kaufman from Seattle.
No one was surprised when Yahoo's stock fell sharply today to the mid-$20 range. During negotiations, Microsoft said it would pay as much as $33 a share for Yahoo, but Yahoo said it was worth even more. The question many are asking is, did Jerry Yang do the right thing in passing up the Microsoft deal? Here's Wall Street analyst Mark Mahaney at Citigroup.
The answer to that question will be very clear if within a reasonable period of time, call it 9 to 12 months at the latest, his stock isn't back up above 30 based on either strategic initiatives or his own his company's own execution, it'll be fair to say he will have blown it.
Clearly, Mahaney doesn't think Yang can pull that off. In a report issued Monday, he recommended shareholders sell their Yahoo stock. Analysts at the technology research firm Think Pembuer were even more blunt, describing rejection of the Microsoft offer as one that is likely to go down as one of the more destructive decisions for shareholder value in the history of Internet stocks. Lawyer Mark Lebovich would likely agree. He is lead counsel in class action lawsuits that were filed against Yahoo and Yang even before the deal unraveled.
The case began 2.5 months ago, where shareholders feared Jerry Yang and his loyalists would stop at nothing to avoid a deal with Microsoft. That fear has now been validated. We are going to seek to recover the billions of dollars that were lost because Jerry Yang put his own ego and self-interest ahead of giving the shareholders the opportunity to sell their shares to Microsoft.
In a statement released over the weekend, Yahoo said the company's management and its independent board have been steadfast in their belief that Microsoft's offer undervalued the company. But in an interview today with Reuters, Yang left open the possibility of additional talks, saying, quote, "If they have something new to say, we would be open." Turning now to Microsoft, the software giant went after Yahoo in an effort to compete against Google in the large and growing market for search and online advertising. Google is by far number one in the market. A Microsoft-Yahoo combination could have created a viable number two. But with the collapse of the Yahoo deal, Microsoft will have to do something else if it wants to compete in online advertising. Analyst Matt Rosoff of the independent research firm Directions on Microsoft says Microsoft might take some of the money they were going to spend on Yahoo and buy other companies.
There aren't any companies, I don't think, that are as perfect a fit for Microsoft's online services and can fill the kinds of gaps that Yahoo could fill. But, you know, we've heard that Time Warner might be interested in spinning off AOL. Microsoft might be willing to buy parts of that.
The other name that comes up as a potential partner is News Corp, which owns MySpace. Many analysts believe that Microsoft and Yahoo will eventually come back to the negotiating table and complete a deal, though perhaps something less than a full merger. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News.
For more on Yahoo's future, we turn to Robert Hoff. He's Silicon Valley Bureau Chief for Business Week magazine. He's been covering Microsoft's on-again, off-again courtship of Yahoo and Yahoo's refusal to walk down the merger aisle. I asked him to describe Yahoo's place in the industry.
Well, Yahoo is certainly a pioneer in this industry. They really kicked off the whole area of Internet advertising after they started in 1995. And they still have quite a leadership role in the area called display advertising, which is those banners that are stripped across the top. Where they have fallen short is in search advertising. These are those little text ads, the four-line text ads, that when you search on Google and search for something, on the right side you see this list of sponsored results. And those are the ads that, as simple and short as they look, are what has made Google catapult to the top of the online advertising industry.
Let's talk about the role of the CEO and the original co-founder of Yahoo, Jerry Yang. He has sent an email to employees saying that they're going to keep on with their present strategy. What is their strategy?
Their strategy is to become the place where most people come to get information and to find their way to other parts of the web. They've done pretty well at that. That's what they started out doing. Originally, it was Jerry's Guide to the Internet. It later became Yahoo. But the unfortunate thing is that search really has become the key way most people get to various places. And Yahoo search is way behind Google's in terms of capabilities and certainly in terms of the ads that that fund it.
Do you think that Yahoo has an identity as strong as some of its competitors? I mean, I think of Yahoo as a news website, and I'm sure other people think of it and use it in very different ways. Is it too diffuse to be any one thing?
I think it is a little diffuse, and that is part of the problem. They are what used to be called a portal, but I think people have gradually seen it more as a news and information brand rather than a place where you can find anything that you want on the web. People Google stuff. They don't Yahoo stuff. You know, if they're looking for something, they Google it. They don't Yahoo it.
Why do you think it was important for Yahoo to fight off this bid from Microsoft?
I'm not sure that it was as important as Jerry Yang and some of the top executives and board felt. This was a pretty good offer, and they obviously felt very strongly about remaining independent. I think there was a price at which they might sell, because for any public company that has shareholders who are, in fact, the owners of the company, they have to get the greatest value for that company. But I think that Jerry has some real emotional attachment, understandably, to this company, and didn't want to see it go for less than a certain price that Microsoft couldn't meet.
You know, Robert, if you consider the various players in this world, Microsoft, AOL, Yahoo, Google, I'm sure I've left a bunch out, could you basically write their name on index cards, toss them in the air, and come up with entirely plausible new combinations of who will be dealing with who in 2, 3, 4 years?
You know, you could. I have a feeling that there will probably be just a couple in a few years, and those will be most likely Microsoft and Google. Google's a lock. I mean, their momentum is just so huge that it's hard to see what's going to slow them down very much. Microsoft, obviously, is huge as a company and has just about unlimited resources, and they cannot lose this game. It really is key to their future. The other two, AOL and Yahoo, remains to be seen. Time Warner is known to be shopping around AOL, so it seems like that's going to get picked up by somebody. Yahoo is the big question.
Well, Robert Hoff, good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Robert Hoff is Silicon Valley Bureau Chief for Business Week.
On Mondays, we talk about technology, and today we'll explore a new way to think about computing. Maybe you could think of it this way. If you need more electricity for your house, you don't go to the store and buy some, you just flip a switch. If you need a more powerful computer, you could do the same thing. Instead of buying a new model, you click the mouse. That's one concept anyway, among several we'll discuss with Craig Boulding. He is an IT security expert at a Fortune 500 company. The company doesn't want its name disclosed because it's sensitive about security, but he is talking with us. Welcome to the program.
Thanks very much.
Would you explain this concept, which I gather goes by the name cloud computing, which immediately sounds a little cloudy to me?
Yes, and it is unfortunately a bit cloudy. Everybody has a slightly different definition of it. In general, though, there are certain themes that come out. One of them is this concept of grid computing and utility computing. Now, these are grand terms that really just mean that you have a lot of standard PCs working together in unison, trying to crack through the workload.
Well, what are some other jobs that I might be able to have done with this system if I've got my not-so-great computer in front of me but a great Internet connection?
Well, Steve, I understand that you have a passion for genealogy.
Well, my wife's a genealogist, yes, yes.
Well, then there's a definite passion there. Part of that obviously involves cracking the DNA and trying to figure out the links between people. So using a supercomputer that's available to you in the cloud is something that you'd be able to do with that.
I could do DNA analysis on my home computer by renting somebody's amazing computer 1,000 miles away?
Exactly. Your home computer really just becomes a display unit rather than actually processing. So all the grunt work gets done inside the cloud, but the updates to your screen get sent down to whatever terminal you're using.
Does this mean if I need extra memory to store a bunch of photographs and I don't have it on my machine, I can just go online and quickly get that memory someplace else to store things?
Yes, you would just turn a dial, and as long as your credit card number is with them and they can bill you for that extra space you're going to take, you can have it there and then. There's no going out to the store.
You just mentioned an important thing, a credit card number. So this is almost like I'm renting storage space for the extra stuff that doesn't fit in my house.
That's exactly it. You're just basically, you know, paying by the drink.
Instead of buying a whole new bottle, okay. Let me ask about another implication, though. Is somebody who runs a business who used to have a filing cabinet or a filing room and then had computer files and computer databases really going to be able or want to take the risk of shipping all their files out to some random computer they don't even know where it is and paying to rent storage that way?
Yes, and that's really a key question. Even though, you know, these are reputable companies, many of them, there's going to be a whole kind of ecosystem that builds up around this of smaller companies that will offer additional services on top of those kind of base services. And so what I've done is I've actually started up a blog, cloudsecurity.org, and what I'm trying to do is get the various cloud providers to come and have a discussion about what security you're doing. Now, obviously, they're not going to be revealing their blueprints, and nor am I asking them to, but there's certainly some steps that can be taken to the point before you get disclosing your intellectual property.
Greg Balding is an IT security expert. He's got a blog about cloud computing called cloudsecurity.org. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Many thanks.
From NPR News, it's Day to Day. Microsoft has walked away from a $47 billion deal to buy Yahoo. And today, investors are reacting to that dead deal. Initially, Yahoo stock had gone up in hopes of a Microsoft-sized challenge to the search engine Google. But now, Yahoo stock is down. Joining us is Marketplace's John Dimsdale. John, why are stock buyers so discouraged about Yahoo's prospects now?
Well, in the very lucrative world of online advertising and web searching, Yahoo is a distant second to Google, Microsoft a distant third, and many think the only way to challenge Google would be with a combination of Yahoo and Microsoft. That's one reason Microsoft was willing to offer nearly $50 billion for Yahoo when the stock market says it's worth more like $30 billion. Yahoo's under a lot of pressure now to show investors how it can prove its worth and compete with Google. Computer industry analyst Rob Enderle says Yahoo's executives only have until July to come up with a new strategy.
That's when the board comes up for re-election. The entire board is up. So if the shareholders are very dissatisfied with the board, and I would say probably today that would be an understatement, then you're talking about a new board and a new executive management.
Okay, John, so what are Yahoo's options?
Well, investors have been skeptical of Yahoo's future for some time, so the company's founder, Jerry Yang, has been working on a turnaround plan, which he's going to have to reveal pretty quickly. Some people think Yahoo may be intent on partnering with Google, and Yahoo has experimented with having Google deliver some of the ads that are found on Yahoo searches. But any matchup of these two companies with lots of overlapping businesses is sure to raise antitrust concerns.
And what about Microsoft? Any consequences for them?
Well, it too is under pressure to compete with Google, especially as more personal computing moves online and away from software programs on individual PCs, like the word processors and database programs, which are Microsoft's bread and butter. Rob Enderle says it's good for Microsoft to step away from these negotiations with Yahoo. He says the deal was getting too costly for Microsoft.
They could take these resources and bolster up their own company rather than making another large acquisition, and I think the market should actually reward them for walking away from this.
Enderle says Microsoft shouldn't try to catch Google by using Yahoo, and instead it should develop its own strengths and compete the way it traditionally has by marketing its own products, online and off. Now, some people think this deal may not be totally dead, that investors will drive Yahoo's stock price so far down that it will have to come back and accept another offer from Microsoft, a much smaller offer that benefits Microsoft.
Thanks, John. That's John Dimsdale of Public Radio's daily business show, Marketplace.
Well, let's stay in the clouds for our last word in business today. And that last word is smell phone. German researchers have apparently patented a chip for sending smells through mobile phones. Think of it as a kind of scratch and sniff text message. Do you really want to smell the person you're talking with on the telephone? Some people must, because this chip has been in the works for 8 years and may not be on the market for another two. If it does come out, a spokesperson for a German technology company says people will be able to send the scent of the ocean breeze while on vacation. They'll be able to mark special occasions by sending an aromatic e-bouquet. You will need a special phone to do this. And if you are worried about unpleasant fragrances wafting out of the mobile phone, don't worry, because the company spokesperson contends the technology allows recipients to reject smells that they don't want. The same way you can reject some numbers. And that's the business news on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.